Well, you should have a new handout. We're finally through with the book of Esther, which is not anything wrong. We're glad to get through with it because it's so fun. But this one is called Recognizing the Roles. And we put down when you signed up for this, y'all wanted to have the idea of the family relationships, the role of husband, wife, parents, children, all of that. And so this is what we're calling it. We're calling it Recognizing the Roles, and we're going to go through it. You'll see even on the very first page, and I'll go over this in just a little bit, but you see an outline, a brief outline of what we're going to study in the weeks to come. And so I don't know how long it'll take us, but we'll see as we go through it. So go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Let me do this. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for a great morning. Thank you for Jesus Christ, and thank you for eternal life as a gift simply by faith. Thank you, Lord, that as we look in the Bible about the family relationships, and what is a husband and a dad and a wife and a mom and the kids, and how are we supposed to live? What are we supposed to do? How different are we to be? And what is the basis, and where do we go to find out how we live as those who belong to you? So, Lord, we just ask you that in the weeks to come, as we talk about the roles, recognizing the roles in marriage and family and husbands and wives and parents and children and all of that, that you would teach us, we'd be able to see how all this fits together. And most of all, Lord, we would live in such a way that you get the honor and the glory. So teach us now, Lord, as we study, we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, turn in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. We're beginning at what we're calling a brief study in recognizing the roles. It's the study of relationships and family and God's plans for each of us. We're going to see biblical pattern found in God's Word so that those of us who have trusted in Jesus Christ as Savior, we can have an understanding of how believers are to live. That's the bottom line, living our relationships. And so in the next few weeks, we're going to see role of husband, wife, parent, children, all of those kind of things. We start in the book of Colossians. This is a powerful letter. Paul gives instructions to believers on how they are to live. In fact, near the end of chapter 3, there's a very specific area. In fact, look at verse 18, okay? Just look there just for a second. In verse 18, it says, wives, be subject to your husbands. Then the next verse says, husbands, love your wives. The next verse says, children, be obedient. The next verse says, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Right there in those four verses give the role, a brief role of the wife, role of the husband, role of the children, role of the parents. Basically, of course, the father is the head there, and we'll talk more about that later. But at the very end, we see that, and we see how we as believers are to live in our relationships within the family unit. That's the bottom line as we look at that sort of thing. The letter to the Colossian church teaches us a key truth, something that you might not have thought about. And you know, most of the time we don't, but here's the key truth. We are to live according to our position in Christ. Now, let me ask you this. When we trusted in Christ, we're placed in Christ, right? Where is he now? He sees the right hand of the Father. So he's been raised up and seated in the heavenly places, right? So how are we supposed to live as those who are raised up and seated in the heavenly places? Look at Colossians chapter 3. Look at verse 1. Look what it says. Therefore, it says if. Now that if is a first class if in Greek, so you could translate it since. Therefore, since you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. We've been raised up with who? Christ. That's where we're connected. We've been identified in Christ. The moment we believe, we're identified in the death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ. He seated the right hand of the Father. We're raised up and seated there as well. We're to live according to that position. And that's what we see in Colossians 3:1. Colossians even says, take off the old, put on the new. We're in Christ, we're God's children, and we want to live that way. So in the next few weeks, we're going to say, how do we, who have been raised up with Christ as new creations in Christ, identified with him, seeking the things that are above, as we say, how do we live? And see, one of our goals is that we will recognize the God-ordained roles for the family unit, and we'll not only know them, but seek to live according to God's plan and his pattern. And so that's what we want to do. Well, let me start with this. Most of you have heard of the movie, of course, Ben-Hur. It actually comes from the book. The author was a guy by the name of Lew Wallace. Lew Wallace was in the Civil War. And he was a leader. And when the war was over, he became a writer. And he wrote a book called Ben-Hur. And you may not realize it, but it tells the story of a Jewish man. His name was Judah Ben-Hur. Ben-Hur means son of Hur. So his name was Judah, son of Hur. And the book takes us from Judah Ben-Hur being a life of riches into slavery and then back to a life of riches again. And along the way, Judah Ben-Hur meets Jesus Christ. If you've ever looked at the book, it says, Ben-Hur, a story of the Christ. The book Ben-Hur is really about Jesus. I remember reading, let me just throw this out just for fun. I remember reading Ben-Hur. I read the book several times, but one summer I decided to read it again because I started reading. I read the book almost within 2 days. And in the book, there's a part where the mother of Judah Ben-Hur has leprosy. And Jesus comes and heals her. And reading that book, it hit me it hit me that time more than any other time, that I thought, you know, this is a book by this guy, and it's about Jesus healing this woman of leprosy. But even though that's a story, that's not really a story, because Jesus actually did that. So even though it's a story, Jesus healed people like that. He would take people and he'd touch that man. The guy had leprosy, and Jesus touched him and he was healed, and he did those kind of things, and it just made it come alive to me. So the book, Judah Ben-Hur, he becomes a slave, and he's a galley slave in a ship, and he's chained and he's rowing that boat, you know, and it's kind of a tough life, especially if the captain wants to go skiing. They have to really get going faster. But anyway, are you awake? I'm just seeing if you're awake, okay? That's all I'm doing. That's all I'm doing. He was down in the bottom and he was rowing, and all they could do is look out this little bitty place. That's all they could see. They didn't know where they were going or what they were doing. They just rowed whenever the guy beat that drum. And suddenly they looked out and they could see something right out beside them. And the ships ran together. And the ship crashed. And somehow he got out of his chains. And people, of course, were drowning and everything. And most of the slaves who were in the chains just drowned. But somehow he got out and he was swimming. And he looked up and the captain of the ship was drowning. And Judah Ben-Hur swam over to him and saved his life. And so he said, I will adopt you as my son. You will no longer be a slave. You will be my son. And for the rest of the book, Judah Ben-Hur is a son of the rich man. And you realize that's us. We're slaves of sin. We're dead in trespasses of sin. We're going down. And suddenly we, by faith in Jesus Christ, we get adopted into the family of God. And God says, you're my son. Guess what? You got to live like my son. And Judah Ben-Hur had to learn to no longer live like a slave. He had to live like a son. And when we trust in Jesus Christ as Savior, we got to learn to live not like slaves, but sons of God. And we move from being dead in trespasses and sins and becoming a child of God. And that's what Colossians talks about. He says, listen, who are you? You got to live like one who's been raised up and seated in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So I want you to think about Colossians for just a second. And here's how the book breaks down. Chapters 1 and 2 tells our position in Christ. And then chapters 3 and 4 say, how do we live according to our position in Christ? And you may say, well, why are we doing all of this? Because the idea here is that when we talk about recognizing the roles, and we talk about living as a husband, as a wife, as a parent, as a child, we have to live as those who have been raised up as sons of God, children of God, seated in the heavenly places with Christ. Wives, husband, children, parents. What does God have for us to do? What does he say about marriage and family and responsibilities and roles? We want to be encouraged as we study. Let me break down the study for you. If you look at your handout there, it gives the outline of the lessons we're going to hit. And most likely, each one of these will be a lesson. But you know, sometimes we can't get them all in. And I can already tell just from the time, we probably won't get all of lesson one done. But we'll go through them as quickly as we can. And if you notice, it breaks down this way. The first lesson is going to be introduction, which is where we are now. And we're going to talk about the marriage and family. We're going to talk about it as a general. Then lesson two, we're going to do the same thing. We're going to come back and talk about marriage and family, but we're going to talk about the role of the wife. Then the role of the wife is the big overarching thing. Then the next lesson, the responsibilities of the wife. And then we're going to get the role of the husband. Then we're going to get the responsibilities of the husband. Then it'll take us two lessons, but we're going to talk about the role of the children, part one and two. And then we're going to talk about the role of the parents basically part one and two, and then we sort of put it all together in the last lesson. So in the next few weeks, there we're going to be going through this study and seeing these things. And I think the challenge for all of us is wherever we are, as a husband or a wife or a parent or a child or both sometimes, what's our responsibility? How do we live as those who have been raised up? So as we begin our study, let's think about our foundation. So our foundation goes back to who we are, and who we are is we belong to Jesus Christ. We've trusted in Him as Savior. And let me just say this. I assume sometimes, and maybe I should not assume, that everyone in this room knows Jesus Christ as Savior. I don't know everybody in this room, not everybody in a real personal way. But the bottom line is, as you know, if you were in church this morning or many times, we say that the truth is Jesus died on the cross and paid for sin and rose again. And if you will trust in Him and Him alone, He'll give you eternal life. In fact, you trust in Him to give you life. You trust in Him to save you. And if you trust in Him, you're saved, and you're saved forever. We are God's children. That is the basis for everything that we do. In fact, right here, I put this up here. The basis for our family relationships goes back to the fact that we are in the family of God, and we're to live out our family relationships based on the Word of God. Now, think about what that says. The basis for our family relationships, being a husband, a wife, a parent, a child, goes back to the fact we're in the family of God, and that we're to live out our family relationships based on the Word of God. That's the key. So let's begin with understanding just about who we are. Think about this. You know these things, and you can fill in the blanks very easily. By faith in Jesus Christ, we become children of God. John 1:12, as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, even those who believe in His name. So by faith in Jesus Christ, we become children of God. Now, think about this. It goes back to this good news. We understand that Jesus died and rose again, that He paid for sin, and He conquered death. And by the way, a lot of times we'll say the gospel is the death and resurrection of Christ, and it's true. But think about it. The death is where He paid for sin. The resurrection is where He conquered death. And they go together. Jesus died on the cross to pay for our sins. He rose again to conquer death. We think about that good news message, and it's called the gospel. The good news, 1 Corinthians 15:3-4, it is the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We've talked many times about the gospel message, and sometimes people think the gospel message is just the death of Jesus Christ. They'll say Jesus died on the cross. That's the message. That's not the message. That's half the message. The message is Jesus died on the cross and rose again. Death and resurrection. That's the good news message. If you take the time, and you can do it at a different time, is go back to 1 Corinthians 15:3-4. By faith in Jesus Christ, we have what? Eternal life. That's the next slide, I think. By faith in Jesus Christ, we have eternal life and an eternal relationship with Him. Now, I'm harping on this a little bit today because the passage in Sunday morning deals with it. But like I raised the question Sunday morning, do you understand what eternal life means? It means eternal life. And it means life forever. And it doesn't mean there can be an ending. If there's an ending, then it's not eternal life. It's life for a while. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish but have life for a while. That's not what He said, right? Or life till you quit believing. Or life till you're not faithful. Or life till you sin. He said, I give you what? Eternal life. There is no stopping. We're saved and saved forever. And so when we trust Jesus Christ as Savior, we're born into the family of God. That's the John 1:12. I don't know if I have that verse or not. I think maybe the next slide has those verses. Let's see. Anyway, it's not there. But John 1:12 is that aspect of we become children of God by faith in Christ. John 1:12. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, it says, what do you not know? Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So bottom line is we've been bought with a price. Now, the Ephesians passage that's up there, Ephesians 2, I want you to turn there. You're in Colossians. So just turn back just a little bit, a couple of pages in your Bible, to Ephesians chapter 2. And I want you to see something that ties together with all of this. I know you're saying, well, we've not got to the family yet. We know we haven't, because we've got to have this foundation. Because we don't have this foundation, you have nothing. You know, because how do you know what to do if you don't know who you are? Ephesians 2:5-6, it gives an amazing insight into who we are. Look at verse 5 of Ephesians 2. He says, even when we were dead in our transgressions, and we were dead in transgressions and sins, He made us alive together with Christ. In other words, He made us alive with Christ. And notice, He puts there in a little parenthesis, by grace you've been saved. He goes on later on in verses 8 and 9 and gives the details. For by grace you've been saved through faith and not of yourselves. He does that. We've been made spiritually alive with Christ. Notice what it says. We've made us alive together with Christ. That's why when we talk about baptism and we talk about baptizing somebody and we say we put them in the water, we take them down and we bring them back up, that's only symbolic of what's already happened. You've identified with Jesus Christ's death, his burial, and his resurrection. We're identified in Christ. Look what it says. We've been raised up with him. He has made us alive. Now, the next verse, verse 6, is really the key. And he says he's raised us up and seated us with Christ in heavenly places. That's where you are. You've been raised up with Christ, seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, Jesus is seated where? Right hand of the throne of God. Where are you positionally? Right hand of God. Now, experientially, we're walking around on this earth. But positionally, you are seated in the heavenly places at the right hand of God. So what are we supposed to do? How are we supposed to live? Go back to Colossians. Colossians 3. Since we have died and were buried and rose with Christ and we've been raised up and seated in heavenly places with Christ, what does chapter 3 verse 1 says? Since you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. He says, keep living like one above. Live like an exalted child of God. That's how we live. And then he says in verse 2, set your mind on the things above, not on the things of the earth. Most of the time, I set my things on the things of the earth. Most of the time, we who know Christ as Savior set our things on the things of the earth. The cars, the houses, the food, the job, the adventures, the things we are, all this stuff down here. And he says, look, I want you to think heavenly. I want you to think about the things above. So how do we live out our roles? Colossians 3, verse 17. Whatever you do, in word or deed, husband, wife, parent, child, whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Do it all for Jesus Christ. Listen, you know what that verse? What's the following verses right after he says, whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father by him? What's the next verse? Wives, what's the next verse? Husbands, what's the next verse? Children, what's the next verse? Fathers. You know what he's saying to us? Listen, you got to live a certain way because who you are. And what that means is our gifts, our talents, our time, our abilities, and especially our relationships are all for the glory of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, let's think about marriage. Let's think about the family. When we think about it, we think about our society and how's it doing in society? Not doing so pretty good, is it? In fact, you know, there are three divine institutions that God ordained. There's marriage found in Genesis 2. There's the family, of course, in Genesis 4. You have to go back to Genesis 1 where he says, be fruitful and multiply. So he had the family back there as well. Psalm 127, behold, children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward, as heirs in the hand of a warrior. So are the children of one's youth. So having a family is good. And then the church. I will build my church. Those are the three divine institutions, marriage, family, and the church. And all three are under attack, by the way. All three in our culture are under attack. And we can spend all kind of stuff on the church, but we're talking about the family. People are pushing for same-sex marriages. They're pushing for everything that destroys what God set up. Well, what did God say? I want you to go back to the beginning. Go to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. And I want you to see what he says. Now, as you're studying this, I want you to, we always studied this section in the 2-2 class. So if you've had the 2-2 class with me, you've seen this in a lot more detail than we'll get this morning. But you realize that when God made the man, the Hebrew word for man is ish. And the Hebrew word for woman is isha, which means out of man. He made the man, and he called him Adamah, which we say Adam. And Adamah means dirt, because he formed him from the dirt of the ground. And so he made this dirt, this Adamah, which we say is Adam. and he put him in a garden. And he told him to take care of the garden. And he told him this, you can eat from everything in the garden, anything you want to eat from, except one tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Don't eat from the tree. Then you realize this, is he by himself? No, he's not, because who's with him? God's with him, right? But then God says something, because he said, it is not good that this man be what? But he's with God. Don't people say that if you just got God, that's all you need? God says, if you just got me, that's not enough. You need people. You need other people. He said this, you know, it wasn't good that the man would be alone, right? I think I'm going to make a helper for him. So what did he do? No, he didn't. He didn't make a woman. He made animals. He said, the Lord says it's not good for the man to be alone, so I'm going to make a helper suitable for him. So on the ground, the Lord formed every beast of the field, every bird of the sky, brought them to the man to see what he would call them, and whatever the man called these living creatures, that was the name. And the man gave names to the cattle and the birds in the sky and every beast of the field. Hippopotamus. Elephant. Right? Giraffe. I mean, he named them all, right? God said, it's not good for you to be alone, so I'm going to make you a helper. He brought him all these animals. And what did Adamah, dirt, say? There was not found a helper suitable for him. You know what he said? None of this matches. I mean, they're nice. They're nice. Buffalo. I like buffaloes. I mean, they're good. They're all nice, but nothing matches, right? So what did he do? So the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. He took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in that place. And the Lord fashioned into a woman the rib, which he had taken from the man, and brought her to the man. And of course the man said, Mamma mia, that's a spicy meatball. No, he said, he said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She's going to be called woman Isha. Now, what is so amazing is that when he woke up, he had found out that he had surgery and was now married. Right? But he was pretty happy. Bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, she shall be called woman because she's taken out from man. By the way, his name is what? Well, his name is Adamah, and he is a Ish. What's her name? Yeah, she didn't have a name. She is a Isha. She's a woman. She didn't have a name. She didn't have a name till after the fall. Think about that one. Hey, woman over here, right? Isn't that the way it works? I mean, are we going to see that in this thing? Well, isn't that? Well, no, I don't think so. Okay. Then he makes this statement, and I know we've had one bill. That's one bill. For this reason, now here's the key. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Now, notice this. Who's got mamas and daddies there? Nobody. But this is the plan. He's saying, now this is the plan. A man shall leave his father and his mother, and they'll be joined to his wife, and they become one flesh. And we've got one man and one woman together forming a family. And we got a culture that says, oh, a family could be just about anything, right? But the Bible says, no, family is the man and the woman coming together, forming the family unit. That's what the family unit is. Now, that means it's wrong to have grandparents and everything else all around, but we're saying the family unit starts with a mom and a daddy. A man and a woman. This is God's plan. Coming together, forming the family unit, forming marriage and family. James Dobson, several years ago, wrote an 8-page article talking about the aspects of the crumbling society and the attacks on the family and all the misinformation that is out there. And I've quoted this before, but it always makes me mad when I read this, because you will read in some of the articles, and this is by the liberal people in the world, they'll say the family is dead, meaning that there is no family in the United States anymore. If you say husband and wife and two children or whatever you want to say, they say that the family is only 17% of our culture. Does that seem right to you? It's wrong. Let me tell you what they did. In the study, they said a man and a woman and two kids. If there was a man and a woman and one kid, they didn't count them. If there was a man and a woman and three kids, they didn't count them. So it says a man and a woman and two children, that family unit's dead. By the way, 62% in our culture, husband, wife, children. Now it's fallen because our culture's changed. What is amazing to me is even the believers who ignore the scripture and live like the culture. I mean, I expect the culture to live like the culture, don't you? Do you expect unbelievers to live like believers? Of course not. Do we expect believers to live like believers? But we don't. Now, what's the problem with our culture? I want to give this, I got about a minute. I want to give this and we'll stop. The problem is, and let me find out where we are, make sure we're all, is everybody following? Are we okay? Y'all keeping up? Nobody's not keeping up? Are we okay? Who's not keeping up? Barely. Am I going too fast? Okay. We're over here on this page that says our culture. Okay. Two areas. Number one, and I'm going to put them right here. Our culture is instant gratification and no commitment. That's our culture. And the younger culture is coming up with a little bit different than that, but they're the same. Let me talk about it for just a second. Instant gratification. Instant gratification. Everything is for us, and we deserve a break now. And this is for me. What's best for me? What's best for my job? What's best for my career? What's best for my life? I want it, and I want it now. I mean, we get a computer, and it's not fast enough. It's faster than any computer's ever been, but it's not fast enough. And you get the phone, and you say, how come it's not working exactly right? It's supposed to do this as soon as I press this button. It takes 3 or 4 seconds. I don't understand it, right? We get in line at a restaurant like McDonald's or those, and we go in, why is it so slow? You know, you've been there 45 seconds, and they haven't taken your order yet. And we want everything right now, right now. Have you noticed, us older ones, have you noticed how that the trailers for the movies have changed? See, it used to be that when you watched and it gave a preview for a movie, you could actually see what was going on. Now it's the scenes are like this. Instead of it being a scene, and you know the average scene was about 4 seconds, now the average scene is less than a second. Boom, this blowing up, this moving. It's like this, and you're watching it, and you're saying, what is that show about? I don't know what happened. I just saw some stuff, but I don't know what happened. Would somebody tell me what happened, you know? Because everything's instant. Everything's fast. Faster. I mean, think about Maltese Falcon, right? Who saw that movie? You know? No young people watch that today. It's way too slow. Peter Lorre going, I don't know what happened. You know, I mean, who's going to watch that, right? I mean, it's got to be 6 car chases, you know, and jumping out and, you know, stuff. Second, besides the instant forget, there's no commitment. There is no loyalty anymore. There's not. People will say, well, I said yes, but it's not convenient for me now, and it's not what I want to do, and I'll just walk right out. And we're a nation of starters, but not many finishers. There's no commitment. I read an article in USA Today about a wedding chapel. It's Reverend Charlotte Richard in Las Vegas. She has a drive-through marriage deal. You drive through, and for $25, she will marry you. For $27, you get the license and everything. You can go without a ceremony. You can just get a license. More than half the people just drive up and get the license. They don't even go through the ceremony. Because we say, if it doesn't work out, it was just a drive-through, right? It's like, I didn't like the hamburger. You know, you go, I don't like the wife. That's our culture. And let me tell you, did the second bell already ring? It did? Oh, I'm going way over. Okay, let me just say this. There's no loyalty today. People will just walk right out of a church. They'll walk right out of your life. They'll walk right out of your businesses. They'll walk right out of your companies. They'll walk without even a thought because it's not what's best for them. There's no loyalty. So that's what's happening in our culture. And you've seen, and it's not going to get better. It's not going to get better. Just get ready for it. Ann Landers did a survey before she died. Anyway, no, it's not. It's from there. But it said, if you had to do it again, would you have children? Because that's one of the issues. 68% of the people in the survey said, no, I will not have children. If I could do it again, I would not have children. And the answer question was, why? And the answer were, they take up too much time, they limit my activities, and they cost too much money. I agree on the last one. It does, it does. They do cost a lot of money. I don't know. Okay, we'll stop there. Okay, everybody know, kind of mark it. I'm going to have to mark it so I won't forget where we are. But we'll go there and we'll finish. We'll for sure finish next week, this one, and get started in the next lesson, which also deals with marriage and family as a whole. And then we'll get into the roles of wives. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a fun time as we think about our relationships and the fact that by faith in Jesus Christ, you have raised us up, seated us in the heavenly places, and that we're to live as those who are raised up and above, and we're to live as children of God. And Lord, we know that our culture and our marriage and family and everything is under attack. And if we go back to the Bible, it's one man, one woman coming together with one flesh and being fruitful and multiplying and filling the earth and having a great time and doing all these things. And yet our culture is so different. And our culture tells us that doesn't work. And our culture says that's not right. And our culture wants something right now. And it's just no loyal. There's no loyalty, Lord. And we just see our culture. Lord, may we stand as lights in the world, as those who live by the Bible, making a difference for you. May we live as those who are raised up and seated in the heavenly places. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.